Good afternoon. Rick Tolman with the National Corn Growers. You know, last week it was a very entertaining event, the NFL draft, something I enjoy watching, where you get a lot of disinformation and misinformation on purpose in order to confuse who's going to draft who. It's the old classic PR strategy of turning little Bo Peep into the axe murderer. And we have a lot of that going on in the national media with corn and corn prices and ethanol. In fact, this article in the Washington Post today is the latest classic example of that, where there's a lot of misinformation, slanted information that's just inaccurate. What I'm going to do is just share a few basic facts about corn and corn supply. There's some real misuse, people that think they're experts about corn. And I think while we do have some role in higher food prices in the corn industry, we're certainly closer to little Bo Peep than we are the axe murderer. Corn is our largest crop. We've been producing corn in this continent for 400 years. It was our first major export back to Mother England. We typically supply about 65 to 75% of world trade in corn out of the United States. We have a comparative advantage in corn production. We continue to produce more on fewer acres with fewer inputs. The kind of corn that we produce that we're talking about that goes into ethanol is not the corn that you eat. And a lot of people miss this. It's not corn on the cob. It's not the creamed corn. Those are two different supply channels. Last year, we had 85 million harvested acres of field corn, and we had produced 13.1 billion bushels, or 366 million tons, valued at about $52 billion. On the sweet corn side, it was 631,000 acres, valued at about $1 billion. Those are very separate chains, very separate varieties, and people get those mixed up. So, we produced a record crop last year by a wide margin. Here's how it was used. We had available a little over 14 billion bushels because of our carry-in. And again, a bushel is equivalent to about a large bag of dog food, if you want to get a visual image. 42% of that we had available went for livestock feed. 9% went for direct human consumption. 22% went for ethanol. 17% was exported, and we had a 10% carryover. So those simple numbers, I think, should address a little bit of the misinformation, the axe murderer concept. The value of ethanol that we use is not 30 or 40 or 50% of our production, as I hear. It is under 25%. It was 22% last year. We projected out to 2015 when the cap hits on the renewable fuel standard at 15 billion gallons, and we can see no more than 27% of our corn crop ever going for ethanol use. So those numbers are greatly inflated. Another one is that we're taking corn away from the food supply to go into ethanol. The reality is that we will have record exports this year of corn, more than we've ever exported before this year. We are putting more corn in the food supply than we've ever done before, and also adding 1.3 billion bushels for ethanol export. Now, how do we do that? That's because we have growing yields. We have growing productivity. Let me give you a few numbers here. 1967, we had an average yield, national average yields of 80 bushels to the acre. 1977, 10 years later, it was 91. 1987, 10 years later, 120. 1997, 127. Last year, 151. So our corn yields have doubled in the last 40 years using less inputs. We expect them to double again in the next 20 years. Why is that happening? Because of biotechnology, because of improvements in corn breeding, because of the sequencing of the corn genome. We have much more technology to put the traits in that give us yield enhancement. And again, we're doing that with fewer inputs. In the Washington Post, they had a couple of significant errors, one saying that the yield or the acres that we had last year was a record. It was not a record. We have exceeded that number many times in the past. They also had a nice graphic in there about if you fill up your SUV, it requires enough corn to feed somebody for a year, and that one's been out there for a long time. I don't know if any of you have ever bothered to calculate that, but that's about 5 bushels of corn coming out of the food supply. When that statistic first came out, corn was selling for $2 a bushel, so that at a $10 equivalent. Today, corn's selling for around $5 a bushel, so that's 5 times 5, $25. It seems not very much reality to me that somebody could live for $25 a year. The reality is, again, that those are not competing with each other. 10% of our corn supply goes for food use. We put more into food. We use more than export. It's not as if you didn't put it into ethanol, somebody would get it to eat. They are not competing. They're different channels, different ways to use things. Now, what about those comments about corn driving up the price of food? Certainly, higher corn prices have had an impact on retail food prices. Most studies indicate that somewhere in the range of a quarter to a third of what we've seen prices go up. Well, where's the other three quarters or the other two thirds coming from? Is corn Bo Peep or the axe murderer? We've seen the headlines. The reality, some of you have the studies. USDA said corn prices pass through to the retail rate at less than 10% of the corn price change. Another study says that every dollar increase in a bushel of corn, dollar increase in the gallon of gas, the increase in gas has twice the impact on retail food prices that the increase in a bushel of corn. Texas A&M, in a report released this month, said higher corn prices have had very little impact on consumer food prices. Well, how can this be? You know, it's interesting to look at how much corn is in food, the reality of it. USDA estimates that our average corn price this year will be somewhere over $4 a bushel. And again, you're seeing 5 or 6 now, but farmers, what the farmer gets is somewhere on the average about $4 a bushel because of forward contracting. Last year it was just a little over $3 a bushel. There's 56 pounds of corn in a bushel, and at $3 a bushel, that's 5.3 cents a pound. At $4, that's 7.1 cents. If you want to go to $5, that's 8.9 cents a pound, and at $6, that's 10.7 cents. So if you looked at common items that use corn, a pound of beef takes 2.8 pounds to produce of corn, 2.8 pounds of corn produce a pound of beef. So at $3 a bushel, there's 15 cents worth of corn in a pound of beef. At $4 a bushel, there's 19 cents, and one at 4 cents. For milk, it takes 1.8 pounds to make a gallon of milk. At $3 a bushel, there's 9 cents worth of corn in a gallon of milk. And at $4, there's 13 cents. Corn flakes, it takes 10 ounces of corn to produce a box of corn flakes that sells for over $3. There's 3.3 cents in that box of corn flakes of corn at $3. When it goes up to $4, it's 7 tenths of a cent up. It goes to 4 cents worth of corn. So at the retail level, higher corn prices at the farm gate have very little impact on retail food prices. 19 cents of the food dollar today goes back to the farmer. In 1959, it was 41%. Today, 80% of the food dollar is driven by labor cost and rising energy cost. It does not go to the farmer. In 2003, the price of corn was $2.50 a bushel, and the price of oil a barrel was $10. Today, the price of corn for a bushel is just over $5, and you know what oil has done. It peaked at $120 last week. So there's been a very significant increase in oil. That's where the impact is coming. Corn prices do have a marginal impact on the retail price of food, but only by a small amount. What do corn prices have to do with food riots in China and Pakistan and India over rice? Absolutely nothing. There is no connection to rice production around the world with biofuels or corn in the United States. No connection at all. Absolutely none. Bottom line, there's been a very clever marketing disinformation campaign directed at biofuels by those with deep pockets. If you want to know who the real axe murderer is, that's slashing our grocery food budget, look at $4 a gallon gasoline, look at $120 a barrel oil. 38 of the 47 poorest countries in the nation are net oil importers. 25 import all their oil. The Energy Information Association Agency, estimated that OPEC has increased by a factor of 5 their revenue since 2003. Where has that money come from? It's come from poor people who need to pay for food. Thank you.